ministry begun, started in the fires of Pentecost. Fires of Pentecost, Holy Ghost, moving. Bible says there was miracles and wonders that took place. Multitude was saved. 3,000 on the first day. 5,000 just a short time later. The church was growing with leaps and bounds. It wasn't because of teaching in the Bible school. It wasn't because of charismatic leaders. It wasn't because of man's ability. It was because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And the same God is still God. The same anointing is still available. God had the divine will in the lives of everyone. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this morning from the 119th Psalm. 119th Psalm. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me there. Psalm 119. I'm going to read the first three verses. George, is there an extra Bible right there in the pew behind you, in front of you? Yes. Psalm 119, the first three verses. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do not iniquity. They walk in His ways. I want you to keep your Bibles open because we'll be reading some other verses. But I want you to notice those that are blessed are those that walk in the law of the Lord. Obey the Lord. Do what God says. And then the second verse, they keep His testimonies and they love Him and serve Him with all, with the whole heart. That's the key. Giving all to God. And so I would like to come back to this chapter. Keep the Bible open. Of all the chapters in the Bible, 1,189 chapters. Of all the chapters in the Bible, this is a chapter that is unique. One of a kind. None like it. In fact, when they, after they had written it, the psalmist had written it, and they had divided it up into verses and chapters and what have you, there were 176 verses, divided into 22 divisions, with 8 verses in each division, and with each division having a heading of one letter of the Hebrew alphabet. No other chapter in the Bible. When our country was founded years ago, those came from Europe and from England seeking religious freedoms, designed to serve God as out of the depths of their heart in their own way. Some were not interested in the ways of the Church of England because it did not change lives of people. There was so much going on, and when our forefathers came to these shores and seeking God and founding of this great country of ours, they did not bring the hymn book from the Church of England to use it for their worship. They decided that we'll use the Book of Psalms. 150 Psalms. We'll use the Book of Psalms and we'll have someone to write the music to each psalm. And the Psalms will be our hymn book. I want you to think of that. They didn't have a course book. They didn't have the gospel hymnal that we have. All they had was the Bible. And so they had someone to write music of the Psalms. And while I read that and thought of that, now we in our books, we have some Psalms that have 2 verses. Some 3 verses. Some even 4, maybe 5 verses. And I don't know how they did it when our forefathers first came about this. But I hope they didn't use the 119th Psalm all in one course. Wouldn't it be something if the psalm leader said, turn to Psalm 119. We're going to sing all 176 verses. I doubt if that happened. But did you know these are songs? And our forefathers thought, we can just put music to them and how that they blessed people's hearts and lives over the years. And in our Bible study, from time to time, we discussed the children of Israel after they got into the Promised Land, how that there were battles to fight, there were enemies over there, there were problems, there were difficulties, there were so many things that went wrong There was temptation to be like the others. Let me stop right there. If I don't get to finish the whole sermon today, I'll maybe finish it another time. When they got over in the promised land, God said, you're not to be like everyone else. You're my chosen people. You're to be holy. And when the holy people of God got over into the promised land, there were temptations to be like everyone else. And that's been going on for 3,500 years. And people today get saved and they have a plan to be like the world. And the Bible said the children of Israel had that same problem while they were there. While we were studying about the children of Israel, we learned that when they got over in the promised land and Moses had died and Joshua was in charge, and as they defeat the enemy, they divide the land between the 12 tribes of Israel. Mark this down. They divided the land into 12 parts, but Levi didn't get a part. Joseph got two parts. He got the double portion of the firstborn, although he wasn't the firstborn, but because of Reuben and what he has done, God gave Joseph. Joseph's two sons had a part each, but Levi, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, did not get a part. And God had a reason. He said, you're not going to get in the land. You're not to be out there to raising cattle and crops and what have you. You're to be the ministry. And you're to live on the tithes of the people. When the people that love God give their tithes, that will take care of you. You don't have to raise cattle and what have you to have to feed your family. But you live on the tithes of the people. Did you know God hasn't changed His mind? That's still God's plan. But this is the part that I want you to notice. You've got your Bibles open. Turn with me, if you will, to the 57th verse. He said, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep Thy words. And now, I want you to see that first part. Thou art my portion, O Lord. The psalmist said, the Judah has got their portion of the land. And Benjamin's got that portion of the land. And Reuben's got that portion. But the psalmist said, but Thou art my portion, O Lord. And I want you to listen closely to your pastor today. That's our portion as well. The Lord is our portion. If you have the Lord in your heart today, if you're saved by the grace, if your sins have been covered by the blood, your name is written down in glory and you're part of the family of God. The Lord is your portion. Could I ask you a question? Is there anything else that we need? No. No. He's all that we need. We sing that. We believe that. Sometimes we act like He died on us. Where are you, God? He's still there. He's our portion. When you're going through a hard place, go to God. When there's sickness, go to God. When there's a financial need, go to God. Amen. If you'll obey God, if you'll serve God, He'll see you through. He doesn't say, I'm going to heal everybody. At a time when you come to me, I'm not going to meet this need at a certain time the way that you think. But if you'll serve God and obey God and follow His commands, He will take care of you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Then the 58th verse. The psalmist said, I entreated Thy favor with my whole heart. I've mentioned that already in the first three verses, but I want to say it one more time. That's the key to victory. That's what Daniel did. That's what so many have done. Completely dedicated. Committed to God. Sold out to God. Laid everything on the altar. Nothing of your own. I belong to God totally. Many of our people of today's religious world, they know nothing about the real peace of God. They don't know about joy that's in there in the times of difficulty. They don't know about real happiness. When you're going through a problem, you can have the joy bells ringing. They don't know about that. It only comes from those who love God. And obey God and serve God. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands today, but I'm going to say it one more time. You can have the joy bells of heaven ringing in your heart when you've gone through the most difficult time of your life. You've lost your companion. You've lost a child. It doesn't seem right for parents ever to have to bury one of their children. Don't go give a good time. And with a broken heart and with tears streaming down your face, you can have the joy bells of heaven ringing in your heart. He said, Brother Jones, how does that happen? Because the joy doesn't come through circumstances, it comes through Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 So many today have a form of godliness, like Paul wrote. They have a form of religion, but they might deny the power thereof. No real commitment, no dedication. Religious but lost. Jeremiah said, God said, and through the Jeremiah, He said, and ye shall seek me and find me. If he'd only stop there, that means an open promise. Seek me, you'll find me. But he goes on to say, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart, when you search for God with all of your heart, and seek after God, he'll be there. Amen. Can you say amen? Has he done that for you? When you search for the Lord and you love him with all that you've got, you search for him. He said, I'm right here. I've been right here at your side all the time. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a mighty God. What a Redeemer is ours. These last days, the church age, there's a lot of compromise. You know that. I know that. There's a lot of carnality. There's a lot of worldliness. There's a lot of tendency to be like everyone else. I believe that is probably the greatest detriment to the church today. Are people professing to be Christ-like, and then live contrary to Christ. But I know some people that have made a commitment. I know some people that love God with all their hearts. I know some people that have sold out to God, committed their all to God. I know some people this morning right here in this congregation that love God and have the victory. If you're one of those, say amen. If you're not one of those, you can be. Amen. Amen. I thought, listen to the 59th verse. He said, I thought in my ways and turned my feet. Let me read that again. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I thought how I was living. I thought about how I was living. And I turned my feet to thy testimonies. You know what he said? I thought about your commandments, and I thought the way I was living, and I was breaking the commandments, and I wasn't fulfilling them. I thought on my ways, and I turned to obey God. I took some time in my life to think about what was happening, how I was living. I spent some time in sincere thinking about, if I keep on living the way that I'm living, where will I end up? Did you ever see the commercial? Children in the back seat saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? I told you a story some time ago about a young girl. They were driving somewhere along, and the young girl spoke to her mother and said, Mama, where will we be when we get to where we're going? Did you remember that? Where will we be when we get to where we're going? And I thought about the psalmist. He thought on his ways and realized, where I'm going to be, the way I'm going, is not where I want to go. So he thought on his ways and turned. Because he realized the lifestyle that he had, the way that he was living, did not lead him to the place where he actually really wanted to go. And so I'm going to ask you that question this morning. Where will you be when you get to where you're going? That is for Christians and for non-Christians to think about. Where will you be when you get to where you're going? And as I was preparing the sermon and seeking God and wanting God's desire as will fulfilled in my life, the psalmist really did some sincere thinking about the situation that he realized he was going the wrong direction. And he said, I thought on my ways and I turned my feet. I thought about where I was going and I turned around. I repented. He did something about it. This is the tragedy of my generation. People hear the truth. God pricks their hearts. Not to the... to go that way. It's got to be. Maybe I am on the wrong track. Maybe I have missed it. Maybe I have misunderstood what God says. All the believers and all that profess to be Christians. And I said, all believers, all of those who profess to be believers are going this way. So many going this way. So many are testifying, I love the Lord. So many talking about the rapture, and they're going this way. It must be right. And the tragedy is, folks, a lot of folks are on the road that's going the wrong direction, and they don't know it. They've overrode their consciences. They've played around with their souls. They've decided, I'm not going to believe what the Bible says. I'm going to believe what I want to believe. I've had people tell me that. Those very words. I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I believe. If you don't believe what the Bible says, you're on the wrong track. And I see in the story how that it's so important to realize, to think about where you're going, where will it end? If you stay on that road, it's not enough for it to be popular. It's not enough for so many people to be on it. Where is the road going to end? Where's it going to be when you get there? I thought about the liberal theologians of our day, the progressives in the religious circle that are teaching. I've heard it and I know what I'm saying. They're saying in this generation we are now more enlightened. We do not need what the old timers preached. We don't need what they preached at the turn of last century at the Pentecostal outpouring or the great holiness revivals of the 19th century. We don't need that anymore. We are more enlightened. And so they're teaching, we don't need the blood of Jesus. We don't have to believe that Jesus is deity, that He's the Son of God. We don't have to believe that. We can believe something else and we're all going to the same place. I want everyone to understand today, if you don't believe that Jesus is deity, you're not going to the right place. And the blood, this is so important. We've had people in my generation that have mobbed the blood. Laughed at you, at people like you and me that believe without the blood of Jesus, we cannot be saved. What can wash away my sins? What's the rest of it? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There are those that are preaching today, the blood has no longer any sufficiency or there's no need for it. Really, Jesus didn't have to die. Because this is what they say, as long as you are sincere in what you believe, that's all God requires. As long as you go to church, it's not so much as where you go to church, as long as you're sincere in what you believe and you're faithful to go to church. Then everything will be all right. I want to make as plain as I can today. I don't never know when I come to the platform whether I'll ever come back or not. That's the truth. That is the truth. I don't know when the Lord's going to call my name. My health is good, but I don't know when the Lord's going to call my name. And so this is important for all of us today to understand just because the multitudes are going a certain way doesn't mean that it's going to end up in the right place. Amen. And a lot of people have the idea, as long as I am sincere in what I believe, as long as I'm faithful to the church and I support the church, everything's going to be all right. That is a false doctrine. I'll tell you something, folks. You can be sincerely wrong. Some have been raised in this church and today have accepted a false doctrine, which is sincerely wrong. Doesn't mean that I'm the only one that preaches the truth. God forbid. God forbid. But the Bible is the truth. And we're not going to change it. Now, thank God for this church. And I'm preaching to every one of us today. When the psalmist said, Israel, the land of Canaan, was divided amongst the children of Israel. But then he says, but the Lord is my portion. If I can leave that in the hearts of everyone today, the Lord is our portion. And if you'll serve Him with all of your heart, and if you'll obey every commandment, And if you have any commandments that God has outlined in His Word for the church, any commandment that you feel hard to live by, come tell me. Come share it with me. Every command that God has given is for our good, for our benefit. Whatever He says do, do it. You'll be blessed. Whatever it might be. But don't ever go on your own plan, because it might lead you to somewhere where you didn't want to go. Where will you be when you get to where you want to go? I'm going to use the three illustrations. We all of you have been in church at any time of your life and remember the man Jonah. Jonah was a preacher of righteousness. God had called him. A prophet of God. God said, Jonah, I've got a ministry for you. I want you to go to Nineveh. Probably on the border between Iraq and Syria. Somewhere in that area. I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach. They are in need of the truth. They're lost. They're heathen. I know they hate the Jews. I know that you will not be accepted. I know they'll not love you. They'll not welcome you with open arms. But I want you to go and preach to Nineveh. You know the story. Rather than going to Nineveh in the north, northeast, he went down to Joppa, got a ticket, got on a boat, headed as far the other direction across the Mediterranean. Nineveh's here and he's going that way. You know the story. While he was out there, a storm came up. I'm not going to go into all the details. They threw him overboard. They tried every other way to try to save the ship and all the gear, and they couldn't do it, and so they threw him overboard. He told them, it's my fault. They threw him overboard, and God had a big fish to swallow him. Scientists say, there's no fish in the ocean big enough to swallow a man, and he lived there for 3 days. Listen closely. If that was the only fish in the ocean that's ever been that swallowed a man, and he could live there 3 days and three nights, God placed him there. Don't you ever doubt it. I heard someone say not long ago, oh, well, everything's allegory. Adam and Eve, that's an allegory. Jonah and the fish, that's an allegory. Daniel and the lions, and that's just a story. I believe every one of them. Jonah went overboard, swallowed by a whale. Listen to me what I say right now. God allows sometimes some difficult things to get our attention. The best thing that could happen to Jonah was for him to be thrown overboard. He said, Brother Jones, that don't seem like very good. That's the only thing that really saved his life. While he's in the whale's belly, he did some thinking. The psalmist did some serious thinking and turned his feet. Realized, I'm going the wrong way. I'm confident that I can tell you that I haven't talked to Jonah yet. But I can tell you that Jonah did some thinking. And I believe he said something like this, God, if you'll just let me out of this mess. I heard somebody this week talk about a liver pill, sort of smelled like cod liver oil. You're in the belly of a whale. Brother, that's not paradise. I imagine Jonah was saying, Lord, if you'll get me out of here. We don't have this in the Bible. If you'll just get me out of here alive, I will go to Nineveh as fast as I can get there. Now, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I believe he did just that. When he was vomited up on the shore, he must have been a sight. Didn't have boulevard cleaners, and he's headed to preach revival. I imagine he hoped that it rained to get some of that mess off. And he gets to Nineveh. Now I want you to understand something. He did not have faith that God was going to save. He went to Nineveh to preach what God told him to preach. Judgment's coming. But he was willing to go now. And he preached. And when he began to preach, judgment's coming, the people, the king, the rest, they decided, we're headed the wrong direction. This man's telling us there's something that needs to be done. And they called for the people to fast and to pray. and to seek God, and to begin to pray and seek God, and to begin to call out to God, and God spared the city. Had revival. God spared the city for another 100 years. What are you saying, preacher? God allowed something to happen in Jonah's life for Jonah's sake. Not only for Nineveh's sake. God allowed something to happen. We've heard about Sheila, a young girl that was raised in this church. A mother now, got 2 or 3 children. That's been a long time ago when they were here. And now she's got 4 different infections and been to the hospital in and out and several surgeries with a broken neck and broken back and all kind of things. Terrible condition. The last thing I heard before, the family wasn't serving God. And I've heard Sister Alma say and told us, God, whatever it takes, save my family. And if it takes a terrible accident for one of my granddaughters, God save her, I pray. Yeah, Brother Jones, that's hard preaching. No, that's love. That's love, that's compassion. If somebody's broken all to pieces, if they'll think on their ways and turn and get ready for heaven, it'll be worth it all. Amen. Jonah thought on his ways and turned. I went through the Bible, and I'm not going to use the prodigal son here, but you remember the story. And I'll be brief here. I'm not going to go into detail. How that he left home, thought I'm going to live it up. Got my inheritance on my hip pocket. In my hip pocket. I'm going to have a big time. Lights in the city. I'm going to the big city. I'm going to the Big Apple of his day. Lived it up. Spent all of his living, all of his inheritance. Ended up slopping hogs in a hog pen. Didn't think about God while he's enjoying the lights of the city. Didn't think about turning his life to God or going back home while he's living it up. But while he's slopping hogs and he's hungry and his stomach is gnawing, he would even eat of the husk that the hogs were eating, almost as if I could reach my hand and get me some of that. He decided, I'm going back home. It took that to get the prodigal son to come to his mind, come to his real thinking. And I'll use one other illustration. I'm going to read verses 67 and 71 in that 119th Psalm. 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. What a thought. What a thought. In that 67th verse, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before you got my attention, before this happened in my life, I thought I was doing all right. But when you afflicted me, I realized I really had nothing without you. And I turned around. Is it good for me that I have been afflicted? Can you say that today? It is good for me that I have been afflicted. It's good for me that I've come to a hard place in my life. And I'm going to testify. Some of the times we get closest to God is when you go through the hardest time of your life. When you're going through the darkest days of your life and you feel like you're all alone. No one cares and no one's listening. And you go to God. You realize it was good for me that that happened so that I could run to God. So they caused me to turn and run to God. I heard our granddaughter Melissa on the youth night in this church just been a month ago. Give a testimony from this pulpit. Strong. I had not heard her testify like that at all. She had been in a major accident some months ago. She's been to chiropractors, she's been to doctors, she's taken medication. And the medication has affected her stomach. Strong medication for the pain. She suffered and suffered and suffered. Sometimes she can't sit on the chair, cannot lie down. She gets in the floor, lies on the floor. Pain. I heard her testifier sitting right over there that Sunday night, and I heard her testifier. And she said something like this. I know it doesn't sound, might not sound right, but I thank God for letting me be in an accident. I don't know about you, but that's touched my heart. She was thanking God for an accident that happened. No one was killed. And she was not broken up, but some internal things that are strained and hurt and sore. And been much now suffering. She sings in the choir, but she's unable to come and stand for the length of time. And she stood in this pulpit and said, on this platform and said, I thank God for allowing that accident to happen, because when it did, I realized where I was and where I was going, and I needed to get closer to God. And in the course of this time, I've been able to pray and get closer to God. A young person said that. God, give us some older folks to do the same. The psalmist said, I thank God for the affliction that He's allowed to come my way. Because when I was going through it, I ran to God and said, I need help. And God became so real to me. It's enriched my life and it's blessed my life. Even through afflictions. And I will close with another illustration this morning. I thought about Peter. We mentioned him today in Sunday school. Peter was a boastful person and outgoing person. I imagine if you were close to Peter, you would hear him. I've been accused of being a loud preacher. I don't know if I've been accused or not. I've been told that I was loud. But I learned a long time ago. I took speech 101 with the University of Maryland, and the first thing they said, stand up, speak up. When you finish, shut up. Don't rattle on. Speak up. If they can't hear you, you're not doing them any good. I learned that in speech class, 1955. Speak up so that somebody can hear. I imagine anywhere that you were with Peter, you heard what he said. That's just my thinking. I imagine sometimes Peter spoke without really getting it all lined up. His ducks in a row. He didn't have an outline. Sometimes he spoke off the cuff. But that was a time when Jesus was arrested. The last night before he was crucified. Peter said, Lord, the rest of these gentlemen that we're with, these apostles, they might forsake you, but you can depend on me. I'll be there. And when the mob came to get Jesus, Peter grabbed the sword. And he swung it. And I'll tell you what he tried to do. In my estimation, one of the guards, he didn't try to cut his ear off. Didn't try to cut his nose off. I imagine he tried to cut his head off. He swung that sword. Jesus told him to put it aside, and he picked up the ear and healed the man. The man that had come to arrest Jesus, he healed him. That's love. That's compassion. And Peter just said, Lord, you can depend on me. Man, look for me, I'll be there. And somewhere between that and when Jesus was being interrogated that very night by Caiaphas and Annas, the high priest and the former high priest, somewhere between the high priest court and where Peter had made that declaration, I'll be with you, I'll go with you, he made a wrong turn. This is what happened, and I'm going to close in a moment. Jesus had told him, Peter, you're going to deny me before even the rooster crows. And Peter said, not me. You've got maybe Tommy. Maybe Richard. Not me. And while he was standing there by the fire, and you know the story well, somebody came and said, sir, aren't you one of his followers? And he said, not me. I don't even know the man. Someone else came by and said, "Your way you talk, you're Galilean. Aren't you one of those disciples?" And he cursed a preacher that's been used of God. And he curses with an oath. I don't know him. I don't know him. And soon, after the next time, the rooster began to crow. Listen, and when that rooster crowed, Peter began to remember. And I believe he was like the man, the psalmist in the 119th Psalm. He remembered what the Lord had said. He realized what he's done. I've made the wrong turn. If I keep on going the way that I'm going, I'll end up in the place that I don't want to go. And he went out on the porch, and he wept bitterly, and repented. And God forgave him. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, he received the Holy Ghost. Like I mentioned in the class this morning, God tapped him on the shoulder. There was James, there was John, there was Bartholomew, there were all these others around that. God tapped him on the shoulder and said, Peter, I want you to preach this first service, Pentecost Sunday. I want you to preach. God didn't hold any grudge against him. He's failed God, but he's repented. Aren't you glad God forgives? Hallelujah. If the Lord's forgiven you, why don't you wave your hand to heaven today and say, thank God. Thank God, thank God. I was lost and undone, but I've been saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. Hallelujah. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. Glory to God. Brother, this thing is real. Say, Brother Jones, you get a little bit emotional. Sure I do. There's something real going on in my heart. Hallelujah. Peter began to preach, and 3,000 got saved. What are you saying right now, preacher? He fell on his ways and turned. If you keep on going the road that you've been traveling right up until today, where will it lead you? Where will you end up? That is the question this morning for every church member, every visitor, everyone, whoever you might be, all of you, I'm glad you're here. That's a question for all of us. The way that you're traveling right now, where will it end up if you stay on that road? God help us to have a Holy Ghost revival. Come feel, honey. I placed in the bulletin this morning the need, two things, Holy Ghost revival, and God give directions for the pastorate. And we need both. And I personally believe this. I did not hear till this morning, I was talking to Tom, that Brother Jody is not going to be coming. I did not know that until this morning. Maybe he'll tell us that he's talked with it. He's felt like that he's, at the present time, evangelism is his ministry. And I agree with Tom, what Tom said this morning. We need to do what God has us do. But listen to this, and we're going to pray. I put in the bulletin the need of the church, fasting and praying. Some began fasting this week with us. Maybe you'll join us. Whatever way you like to do it, you and God. We're praying for a Holy Ghost revival and for God to take care of the pastor of this church. And I'm going to close by saying this. If we have this, this will work out. Can I say that again? We need a Holy Ghost revival and for God to take care in the pastorate. I am confident if we have the Holy Ghost revival, this will work out. I have no reservations to tell you that. A Holy Ghost revival will do a whole lot of things in the hearts and lives of the people. God, anoint today. Give a hunger in the hearts, the lives of the people. No one will fast unless you get a hunger for God. We love to eat too well. We don't like to push our plate aside to pray, fast and pray, unless we really have a hunger and a burden for God. And I'm asking God to give us such a burden that even food loses its taste. I know you'll have to eat some to live, but keep it in mind. Most of us don't need to eat as much as we eat to live. And I'm talking about me. God, give us a Holy Ghost revival. And I close with this testimony. In our first church, we had a Holy Ghost revival. And the church was begun in the revival fires. I prayed yesterday morning. I prayed yesterday evening. I prayed all this week. God, may the church go out to meet you in the midst of a Holy Ghost revival. With the fire of heaven burning in our hearts and lives. With the Spirit of God real. With signs and wonders and healings and miracles in the first church. God gave all of that, and He's still God. And He loves us. Will you stand together with me? Thank you, Jesus. Get something else. Thank you. Sing, I love Him, for